The Wall Street Journal said he's one of the most innovative minds in football.
He's a rat.
ESPN once called him the guru of the spread.
Scumbag.
Football Scoop labeled him the mastermind behind college football's number one offense.
Nobody likes him, not even his family.
He took three separate teams over a five-year period and made each a top-10 offense.
Yeah, but he's such a horse's ass. He was fired by future United States Senator Tommy Tuberville in the middle of the season, even though he had a 5-2 record.
No wonder CBS Sports said there's never been quite a coach like Franklin. He marches to a different beat.
Pariah, an outcast, a person or animal that is despised, shunned, or avoided. Warning, buckle up and put your big boy pants on. This isn't your friendly kiss-ass coach's show. If you can't handle the truth, eject immediately.
And now, from parts unknown, it's the Pigskin Pariah. The one, the only, Coach Tony Franklin.
Sunday morning, 1:07 a.m., October the 17th. If you don't think I'm committed, you don't think I'm dedicated, you don't think I'm busting my ass because I am trying to give you the best information with no bias, no prejudice, just pure watching ball and trying to give you the best information that you possibly could have, then you are absolutely crazy. This day started early and it is ending the late. And if you are the first ones to hear this on Sunday morning, when this comes out, it's probably going to be around 9 or 10 o'clock before it comes out, but you're going to get to hear for the first time ever the Coach TF Grey Goose best 10, not the top 10, the best 10. And the reason it's named the Grey Goose is because I'm going to start a new tradition. On Saturday night, somewhere around 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock after a long day of watching and charting and trying to get the best football in my brain, I'm going to take a double shot of Grey Goose. And when I take that double shot of Grey Goose, that's going to keep me going for the rest of the night so that I can give this information. So this is the first annual Coach TF Grey Goose Best 10, 1:09 a.m. now, October the 7th, October the 17th, rather. So here we go. Let's start it off. Number one is the easiest number one in the history of football. Might be the most dominant team in, I don't know how long, but maybe forever. We'll see when the year is over with. But right now, there doesn't look to be anybody that can play with them. And the reason is, it's not because Georgia's defense is good. It's because Georgia's defense is smothering. Georgia's defense is punishing. Georgia's defense does not tackle you. Georgia's defense hurts you. They annihilate you. They swallow you. And as good a fight as the Kentucky Wildcats put up, because they did, they fought their ass off. They played hard. They were well coached. They had a great game plan. They did everything that they could do to give it their best shot. It really was never a match because Georgia is simply that good. The defense is that good. And with Stetson Bennett at quarterback, they are an incredible football team. The best football team that I can remember, because I don't really believe that anybody can beat them unless they turn the ball over at least in a negative two. In other words, the other team doesn't turn it over and Georgia turns it over twice, and that would have to be with probably just Alabama, because they're the only team that I think can play with Georgia. So they are a solid number one. Hats off to Kentucky. They fought their ass off. I hope they come back from that game. And I hope that they don't lose their next game because of the Georgia game. I know that Arkansas has now lost three in a row. And the last two they've lost, is because of the ass whipping they took at Georgia. So Kentucky's got to get over it and move on and have a chance to get back in the Coach TF Grey Goose Best 10 because they dropped out of it this week. Alabama is number two. Real simple. Just exactly what most of us thought. The one thing that was going to happen, Alabama got Saban'd. If you were an Alabama player or you were an Alabama football coach, you got Saban'd. All week long, you got Saban'd. There's nowhere in the world that you wanted to be. You did not want to be at an Alabama football practice. If you were a coach, you didn't want to be in an Alabama meeting because you were going to get Saban'd. You were going to get Saban'd from the moment that last game was over with till that ass whipping they took at Texas A&M. You got Saban'd every minute of the day. And trust me, he's been through this before, and he is at his best when backed up. So Alabama came back, went to Mississippi State, did the normal Mike Leach deal of throw it every single play and then wonder what happened and probably blame the quarterback and everything else under the sun. But the bottom line is that Mississippi State has no chance to ever be a contender where they just refuse to run the football. It can't happen in football. And it's a shame for the Mississippi State fans, but that's the way it's going to be. You might as well get used to it. You're going to win some games that you shouldn't win. You're never going to have a chance for a championship. But Alabama is a solid two. And Alabama, because of that loss to Texas A&M, because of that, I don't see anybody else having a chance to beat them unless it just happens to be the freak turnover deal. Number three, until Georgia. Number three, Ohio State is going to stay in the top five, even though they didn't play this week. Not enough to be said, except for the fact that ever since they made the change at defensive coordinator, moved the defensive coordinator up into the box, let someone else call the defense. May not have been his fault. You never know. But, you know, an adjustment like that during the season, the players have responded to it. The offense is playing lights out. The quarterback, since he took the week off and got his arm rested up, is playing lights out. And so Ohio State is a solid number three. Oklahoma, after tonight and after introducing the world to Caleb Williams, the quarterback, Oklahoma can now outscore people. Oklahoma can now play bad defense and still beat a good team because Caleb Williams is a lot better quarterback than Spencer Rattler. Rattler has phenomenal talent, but he is not in the same league with Caleb Williams. That guy's got confidence. He's got moxie. He's got talent. He's got everything, and he's playing a lot better. And all of a sudden, the one thing that a great quarterback can do, he makes everybody else play better. And that's what he's been able to do. He's made his offensive line better. He's made the defense play harder as well. So Oklahoma is a solid four, good win over a really good offensive TCU, but not a very good defensive TCU tonight, 52 to 30-something. So Oklahoma is going to be the four. You're going to get mad on the number five, but I don't care. I'm on the Lane train, and I'm staying on it. Ole Miss is my number five. It is the Coach TF Grey Goose Best 10. Here's why. Lane Kiffin knows how to coach ball. Lane Kiffin ain't afraid. He's got maybe the best player in all of football in Matt Corral. He is special. He is one bad dude. He will run over you. He will poke your eyes out with his fingers. He can make every throw. He's competitive, and the defense can play good enough that if the offense plays good, then they can win out. Now, they also can lose out because, as we saw against Arkansas, the defense is capable of throwing in a clunker and giving up 50 points. So tonight's win at Tennessee was a huge win because the defense had to make plays to win it. Tennessee had been playing really good football. They had a chance to win in the end. The defense had to get two stops at the end, and they got them. And so I believe in the Lane train. I believe in the football gods. I believe still what he did, getting 100% of the Ole Miss football family vaccinated in a state where hardly anybody was, or at least the least amount in the United States of America, with the exception of Alabama, and less than most third world nations, what he did is a miracle. So he is still, the Ole Miss Rebels are in my top five. Number six, in my best five, best 10. Number six, Michigan. Michigan is sneaky good. I've been on Harbaugh since the beginning that this is the one team that if he stays out of the offense, if he leaves the offense alone, if he doesn't screw with Gattis, the coordinator, if he leaves him alone, they got a shot. And so far, he has done so. So far, they let them play, and they've won some tight games, which to me is important. You need to be in some close games unless you're just as dominant as Georgia is, but you need to be in some so that when you first get in one, you're not shell-shocked. They've been in a couple. They've won them. The big win at Nebraska was huge for them, and obviously they needed the open date this week. So as long as they keep doing their RPOs, as long as Harbaugh stays out of the offense, I believe Michigan has a shot at beating Ohio State. So Michigan is my number 16 in my best 10. Number seven, I'm going to throw Cincinnati in there at seven. They're dominating bad teams. The wins over Indiana and Notre Dame aren't that good. Notre Dame's not that good. I know they've only lost one game, but they're still not that a good football team. They're not in the league with some of these other people. Indiana is not winning this year. They're playing people close, but they're not winning. I don't believe that Cincinnati deserves to be in the Final Four no matter how they play out the rest of the year. But they do deserve to be in a conversation. They do deserve to be talked about. And they should have done a better job scheduling and getting some more teams on the schedule this year so that they could have had a shot. But obviously, a lot of Power 5 teams are smart enough not to play Cincinnati unless they hire Tommy Tuberville back as their coach. Then everybody will want to play them again. But that ain't the case right now. They got a hell of a football coach there right now. Number eight. I'm going to make number eight Oregon, and Arizona State is falling out. At 1:18 a.m., they are down 35-21 with 2 minutes to go in the game. So Arizona State is probably going to fall tonight. So we're going to leave one Pac-12 team in, even though I don't really believe it. I don't believe that Oregon's going to make it because they've lost a couple of really good players. They played a bad Cal team and barely won on Friday night. And so I don't believe they're going to do it, but I believe I would be too disrespectful to the Pac-12 if I didn't leave somebody in there. Number nine, a team I was not high on early in the year, and all of a sudden, like a magic lamp came on, they learned what an RPO was. And North Carolina State, I didn't see their game tonight, but I know that that was a big win. Going to Boston College, winning that game going away was a huge win, and they play damn good defense. They're good in special teams. They play good defense. They've got a couple of good players on offense. Their offensive line has good talent. They must be playing better. And so I'm going to put them in. And I'm actually putting them ahead of my 10A team. So just remember, this is called the Coach TF Grey Goose Best 10. So that means that that double shot at around 8 o'clock or 8:30 tonight made my 10 actually be 10A, 10B, 10C, and 10D. My best 10 is actually 13. So my 10A team is Wake Forest. They just know how to win. David Clawson knows how to win. His coaching staff knows how to win. I don't think they're going to win out. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I do think they could win the ACC. And if they do win the ACC, even with one loss, I don't think there's any way in the world they're going to end up winning every game. I don't think that's true. If they do, they may end up in the playoffs. But I don't think that they will. But they still could win the ACC. And if they do, what a hell of a job that will be for that university and for Coach Clawson. He'll be the National Coach of the Year going away if that's the case. 10B, Oklahoma State, undefeated. playing damn good defense, haven't played a great schedule so far, but if they beat Oklahoma, if they went out and they beat Oklahoma, and then they win the championship, obviously they're going to end up making the playoffs. And right now, that win at Texas today was a damn good win. They had a pick six that turned the game around, looked like they were going to go down by three scores. They get a pick six, and that's just how they've played football. They've made plays, and they've run the football, and Coach Gundy has done a hell of a job. And so they are my 10B team. Their defense is good enough to win some games. Thank God the one team we don't have to talk about anymore is Iowa. You know, I said from the beginning I hadn't seen them enough, but I knew this. I knew Penn State wasn't very good. I knew that Penn State wasn't a top 10 team. And I knew that Iowa struggling to beat them, struggling to beat Colorado State, and then Purdue just spanked that ass. Purdue's not even a good team, and Purdue went in at Iowa and beat that ass. So we don't have to talk about Iowa anymore. But my 10C team is Michigan State, still undefeated. No way in the world they're going to finish undefeated, but they are right now. They keep finding a way to win. Coach Mel Tucker's a hell of a coach. They've done a hell of a job. They're going to lose at least one, maybe two more games, I believe, before the season is over with. But they deserve to be mentioned. And then finally, my 10D team, the last team to make my Grey Goose best 10. This seems like maybe I would have had three double shots for me to mention this team in my top 10. But just so you know, if I fucking think somebody plays good, I don't give a shit what I think about their coach. I could care less. So, my 10D top 10 team is the Auburn Tigers. War damn eagle. When you go to LSU and win, I don't give a shit how bad LSU is. And then you turn around, lose to Georgia, which everybody that plays Georgia, I believe right now that Georgia would beat a few NFL teams. But when you do that, and then you turn around and go to Arkansas, let me tell you who the Auburn money people need to start getting their money ready for. Derek Mason. The job that he did today and the job that he's done all season at Auburn, playing, getting those guys playing better every week, he is a schematic genius. He was when he was at Stanford. He wasn't at Vanderbilt, because you can't be at Vanderbilt. He had a couple of years they had good defenses there, but it's impossible to do it year in and year out. But Derek Mason is a hell of a coach, and he's done one hell of a job. But the other guy, Mike Bobo, what he did in the last few weeks with Bo Nix is incredible, especially this game. Bo Nix looked like a real quarterback, an NFL quarterback, a dropback quarterback that only runs when he needed to make a play, not just because he was nervous, not because he didn't trust his offensive line. Bo Nix looked like a really good football player, a really good quarterback, not just a run around, scramble, get lucky, throw a ball somewhere and somebody catches it on his team one week, on the other team the next week. He was well coached. He was better in the pocket. His eye progression was 1,000 times better. And that is coaching, my friends. So hats off to Mike Bobo on getting him better. And hats off to Harsin, because when you do what he's done and get that team ready to go to Arkansas and get that team ready to go to LSU, I'll be pissed off till the end of time. And I think it's the worst fucking decision of a college football coach this year, what he did to the receiver coach, to Cornelius. But doesn't matter. Over, done with. Not a damn thing I can do about it. And I'll say this, is that what he's been able to do, they could win out and they could beat Alabama if Alabama turns it over three or four times. Or they could lose every game. But the last few weeks, he's done a good job coaching, and that entire staff deserves a lot of credit for going on the road and winning that game with some adversity that they've gone through with a number of players being out. So, you're in the SEC. You only lost two games altogether. You've played good football the last few weeks since Georgia State should have beaten your ass. That's good coaching. You come back from that, it's just like Coach Stoops. Coming back from UT Chattanooga should have beat Kentucky. But Coach Stoops brought them back. And so did Coach Harsin bring Auburn back after the Georgia State game. So, they are my 10-D team. So, there is your first. Coach TF, Gray Goose, best 10, double shot team. Talk to you again.
Thanks for listening to today's show. One, go to coachtf.com/podcast and leave us your email so we can send you your free download for our Pigskin Pocket Card, which gives you 10 simple steps to follow daily to ensure an amazing life. Two, do something good today for someone who can never repay you, and you'll have truly lived an amazing life. 3. Join us Monday through Friday for new episodes and download any of our episodes wherever you get your podcast, or simply download from our coachtf.com/podcast. 4. Give us a 5-star review today so we can continue to put together entertaining and informative episodes. Always remember, do good, no repay.